So what got my attention this week was the Ma'apilim. That after the Hulchid HaMeraglim, you have a group of people that want to seemingly do something about it. And the question is, what exactly is their cheshbin? Was there communication between them and Moshe Rabbeinu? Did he know what they were trying to do? What exactly did they do wrong? Were they on track? Were they not on track? What exactly is going on over there?
They came back and they said there's something wrong. And everyone bugged out. I mean, that's a normal reaction, nor is it the first time they ever bugged
out. That's the Meraglim.
Not talking, yeah, but the Moroccan right. Walked in, they came back. For whatever reason, they came back and decided to say that the place stunk.
Right.
And everyone flipped out.
Right.
Why wouldn't they flip out? Moshe Rabbeinu sent them. That means that he's signing off on these guys actually having an opinion. Otherwise, why send them? So if the fact they come back and they say it, you can start doing, you know, Jushuf HaKakir on. You're really doing it because of that. But how does everyone know about that? They're a bunch of, you know, Vasa triggers. Like, they, you know, that Grace Lamdon, they just said, okay, so they came back, you know. They're an extension of Moshe. Moshe said that they're good. They came back and said it's no good. Of course they're going to start screaming.
But they didn't say it's no good, right? They said that it's hard. It's too challenging. It's too big, too great.
Yeah, but that's what we were pointing out. They were pointing out that the fruits were, people are dying there and they're all giants and the fruits are, you know, are abnormally large and everything's just out of whack. So why would you want to be there? The Klal Yisrael also screamed and yelled at the Yamsuf. They also screamed at that what's his name? At the Slav, and every other time they screamed, why now is it suddenly like, pardon the expression, but all hell breaking loose. It seems a little...
Right, so that's why I started that. I wanted to talk about Ma'apilim, and I didn't want to talk about the Chedam Rav.
Enjoy.
Okay, good. So, next year, I'll talk about the Chedam Rav.
The ultimate goal is to get into it, and you don't have to talk about Hashem. It's telling you to go and be good.
You also said the same thing at the Yamsa from Ma'apilim. Okay, let's...
You know that Sefer Nachshoni? He has like a whole bunch of. He likes to collect all the sheets.
No, but maybe you should jot it down.
I think he had a lot of stuff over here. Also, the Malmleyes likes to collect the sheets and try to figure out exactly what the hay was. Yeah, there are going to be different ways to look at it. Okay. So, what George wants to talk about, not what I want to talk about, was. Number one, why. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do after the Chedei Egel? So he seems to daven for a very long time and do tshuva for Klal Yisrael, right? But that's not what happens by the Meraglim, right?
Well, they all die.
What about Klal Yisrael? Like you just pointed out, seems to be terrible things happening.
They also start dropping.
So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's response here? And is it the same or is it different?
No, just not during this there are some villages.
Well, the language was to take me out of your safe. Okay, you got it. Deal. Oh, what's the name? Explain that.
Well,
there was when we were down in Florida, there was a young Israel Apollo. So the rabbi he gave a little speech in between Mincha and Meirav about the Yud Gimel Midas.
Yes, right.
Oh,
how do you remember this?
What do you mean, how you remember? I heard it.
So. So did I. I don't remember anything.
Okay. Well.
Again, I really don't remember anything.
So after the Avera, so Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they fall on their faces. Yeshua and Kalev try to save something. Tov Aretz Mo'ed Mo'ed. So that's number one. Number one, first of all, don't look at the land like it's terrible. It's actually very, very good. So there was a perception problem or whatever. George, you were talking a little bit. If Hashem wants us to, then what's the problem? Sounds like there was rebellion against Hashem. We can get them. They already lost their shadow, maybe. Some say that's a reference to this idea, this way to see if a person is going to die that year based on the shadow, Rosh Hashanah, you know, things like that. But they're finished. Hashem's with us, don't need to be afraid. So then everyone's still freaked out, and they wanted to stone them all. And Hashem says to Moshe, no, they're not going to be ma'amin in me after everything that happened. So there's a major chisaron in Amunah, apparently. I'm going to, Hashem says. I didn't do it yet. I'm going to. And I'll make you into Klal Yisrael. Hashem, what do you mean? Mishama Mitzrayim. We're worried all of a sudden about what Mitzrayim is going to think. George, that's totally up your alley, right? We're worried about what Mitzrayim is going to think.
I've seen that a bunch of times.
Every 4 seconds they complained. We had this in Mitzrayim, we had that in Mitzrayim.
Yeah, but since when do we care about Mitzrayim? Thanks.
God, Moshe said the same thing by the Chedego.
He said, you can't die out now, because if you do, then
Lama, you're Mitzrayim?
Yeah, no, the Mitzrayim is going to laugh.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, right?
No, because that's the whole idea. We go, yeah, listen, you took us out, why did we take him out?
Just to kill him.
Yeah, to bring him out, because you couldn't do it.
So we don't really care about Mitzrayim per se. It's just the effect of the Chil Hashem.
It's a public perception.
It's a tremendous Chil Hashem.
It's a PR maneuver.
Yeah. So one of the Mefarshim, I forgot who it was, pointed out that it's because they're Taka going to say that when it came to Mitzrayim, they're all dying. And so that all Rashi already points this out, that it could be that it was a certain star, and he already saw it in Mitzrayim. So the astrologers were correct and all those kinds of things. Maybe it was the Avodah Zarah of the Kananim, if the Kananim are the ones to kill them. So there was a real problem with Chil Hashem.
Well, the fact that 3/4 of them passed away in Choshech, that was...
They never found out, right? There just seemed to be a lot less of them around for some reason. Yeah. I don't know where they are.
But they think they all made a mad dash for the exit.
Mm-hmm.
They'll stick around. We're just going to disappear now, right?
Yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying you can't kill them. People can be built Yechelas Hashem lahavias amazeh elo aritz, but yignal nakoyach Hashem. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's like rational arguments, and then he says you should have this great koyach Hakadosh Baruch Hu kasher dibarta, like you yourself said. Why? What did Hashem say? Hashem erech apayim v'ram chesed loisli avayin v'fasha v'nakei lo yin nakei pokir avayin avoyis al banim al shileishim al ribayim. So there seems to be things missing from here. In the Yud Gimel Midos, right? That there seems to be something's missing. Slachna lava nazek yigodach hastecha. You should forgive them or something, whatever slicha means, because you could say kaper.
There's a few words you
could
use.
So what's the difference between slach and kaper?
Slicha and mechila.
Mechila.
One's where it is, it's there, but you're being forgiven for it. And the other one is, it's not there at all.
So which one's which? And when Hashem says, "Remember Hashem salach li ki dvarecha," which we say is here, so it's like Hashem is not saying salach li ki dvarecha. So there is even some sort of mitigation in the slicha that okay, I'll do the slicha like you recommended, like you suggested.
There was a slicha, but the generations till today are still paying for it.
Exactly. So whatever the slicha is not exactly so great. But nonetheless, whatever is going to happen with the slicha, still, this whole generation is going to die.
But they didn't.
Who didn't?
Not all of them.
The men, the women, what are you talking about?
Everyone died, except the original color.
Including Moshe and Aaron, even.
No, I thought the last go-around, they...
Well, because why were people getting into the graves and then standing up if they were supposed to die?
No, they all did it. That's fine. I'm saying that if I remember correctly, I think the last
the last year they got into their graves and then they didn't die.
No one died.
So finally, it says Yimru Esa Aretz Hashem Yishpatu Lavisam. So HaKadosh Baruch is basically promising that no one's going to see the land that I promised. Then it says V'chol Mina Atzai Lo Yira'uha. So what's a Mina Atzai? Those are like blasphemy or something, right? So it's imiruas aretz Hashem yishbati lavoisam, and it sounds like in addition that those who are minna atzai are also not going to see the land. And then it says, but v'avdi chalev eikev ha'isa ruach acheres imoy. So he gets to come. Who's missing?
Yeshua.
Yeshua's not. But he should have been included in that. Why is it a given?
What?
Because Chalev. He's
Moshe's right hand man.
If you have to spell out Kalev, you can't spell Yeshua.
Kalev wasn't his right hand man. He's already told to do it, so Yeshua's taking over.
All right, so a little bit just in the basics. I think there's a major, at least it's a couple of things I want to point out, is that there's definitely a little bit of a theme of Darkei Hashgacha going on in this week's Parsha. So first things first, when Moshe Rabbeinu responds with Yud Gimel Midos, so the Ramban, so he says, you see Moshe Rabbeinu, Allah Bashalom, so he doesn't complete all Yud Gimel Midos. He skips some. So the way the Ramban learns is that he doesn't say emes. Right? It's not here. Hashem, Erech Avayim Rechesed. No, it's Nova Emes.
You don't want that.
Right. That's absurd. Kibbutz Midas Emes, but the question is, how is it one of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim? Then how is it one of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim? So Ayin Sham in the Rikanati, he explains it, but you need a sufficient amount of Kabbalah to understand what he's saying. But he works it out. Even according to the Ramban, it's just not exactly the best form. It is a rachamim. It has to be because one of the Yud Gimel Midas is a rachamim.
It's not emes is literally, you know, you buy me a piece of pizza, you know, the next day.
That's din. That's din. But apparently emes.
That's emes. I mean, emes is.
See, he tainas. You have to see the Rikanadi, but he says basically that Yaakov Avinu is midas emes, but Yaakov Avinu is tiferes, which is a balance between chesed and gevura. So if MS is somehow in between Chesed and Gvura, it must mean that MS is not this pure din, like we're used to thinking. There's din, but then there's MS. And MS apparently is not the same thing.
It's just it's on an equal playing field, per se. Chesed is it with someone going above and beyond,
right.
i.e. someone buys one person a bar of chocolate, and the next day the guy comes back and gives him two bars of chocolate. That'd be Chesed. MS would be he came back the next day and gave him another bar of chocolate. You know, it would be reciprocal. It's a quid pro quo as compared to.
But then I'm not sure what the difference between that and din is. That's my problem.
Din is. I hear what you're saying.
So he tries to work it out. But that's Pashup Chat, the Ramban says. Ramban says, because MS sounds like it's a Midas Hadin, like you're saying, and therefore our Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, can't mention it. Ki b'midas MS yiyu chayovim. So that's not going to save them. Sometimes apparently it will. The question is, when will it? Because the Noitzer Chesed La'alofim apparently is a reference to the Avos and Zuchus Avos, and that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to mention. Why not? Because the whole Yerusha Sa'aretz is because of the Avos. So if you're rejecting the Yerusha Sa'aretz, you're rejecting the Avos. So how am I supposed to bring up the Zuchus Avos to save you when you're saying you don't want the land that was promised to them? So you can't mention that in his tefillah either.
The question is, can you really turn it away? I mean, if it was promised to you and it's coming to you anyways, do you get to go like, oh, thanks, I'll pass? You know,
ultimately, no. And that's why their children are going to get it. Right, their children are going to get it.
And of course you can still bring up the Avos.
Not for them. Not to save that generation. To save Klal Yisrael, if that was a risk. If the risk was that Klal Yisrael is not going to get Eretz Yisrael, then you'll say, but what do you mean? You promised it to the Avos. But to say that these people that are rejecting it...
The question is, did every single, you know, I guess, guttel there, anyone above Bar Mitzvah or whatever, whatever the cutoff was, were they all screaming? Or was it 75%, 80%, 50%? Where was that cutoff, right? Did they all just drop everything and just start screaming?
Look, I tell you, it sounds like that everybody on some level had a sense of despair. It sounds like everybody had a sense of despair. And my sense of it is that the whole vort of Tisha B'Av is to cry. The vort is to cry. It's not a tshuva, right? It's not Yom Kippur on Tisha B'Av. It's simply to cry. So when Chazal say there's a Bechiyah L'Doros, they meant Bechiyah. So why Bechia? Why not Tshuva?
Well, it's Tshuva, I guess, to reconcile the screams and the cries of, I guess, the Dor HaMidbar.
Yeah, so but the Nakuda is in the crying. There's an emotion here. There's a sense that we can't go, it's hopeless. And that emotional sense of it's hopeless apparently impacted everyone. And that, the way the Maharal writes it, it ripped out Eretz Yisrael from that part of Klal Yisrael at the time. And the only way to get it back is the emotional sense that you want it so much that you're crying that you don't have it. That puts it back in. But in any case, so that generation, he couldn't daven for Bezuchus Ovis for them. That to try and to salvage it with, it's only a shoygeg. That's what v'chata apparently means. It's a shoygeg. Treat it like a shoygeg. It's not true, because they knew exactly what they were doing. The Meraglim knew what they were doing, at least the Meraglim. I don't know, but that's how the Ramban says it. I don't know, that's how Ramban says it. V'liyadati lama lehizkir rachum v'chanun. I'm not sure why he doesn't mention rachum v'chanun. Ulai, Yoda Moshe Rabbeinu Lev HaShalayim, Ki Adin Matuach Aleyem V'lo Yachmo Lo Elam. That it's not Shaykh in this particular case, because the din had already been decreed, and there's no way to address it with Rachum V'chanon. Something like that. So those apparently are all appropriate. That's what the Ramban says. The ones that are missing, he works to try and explain why they're missing. That
so one Hashem I understand.
It all depends on how you cheshbon your gomidas. The Ramban is assuming a certain cheshbon, and based on that cheshbon, certain ones are missing. So you have to figure out how he's cheshboning. The Rikanti also wants to say that he has a whole other pshat. Lulei HaKabbalah, he says, I would have said that none of the shemos of a Kaddish Baruch Hu count. It's all the descriptive terms of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, or all the Yigim Amidah. So it's not so pashut. Okay, but in any case, B'avur Shalei Bikesh, Rak Arichus Apayim, Amar Le'Salachti Kid Varecha. All Moshe Rabbeinu really requested was patience from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that's what Slicha really means. Is that Salachti Kidvarecha, I'm being soileach them, I'm pushing aside the oinesh, kidvarech like you davened for, with patience. Shielehem erecha paim verem chesed. Vihizkir poiked ovain ovais, sheim yirish ala limchal avainam, yivkoid ovain ovais al benehem, that maybe we can delay the punishment, we can work out the punishment, somehow it'll affect the children, maybe not all now or something like that. Mizahaisa lehem gzeir likva lehem bechiladars. So that pushed off that generation from being, I guess, you know, totally annihilated on the spot or whatever would have happened to a Bechiyah L'Deres. But Laila Hazeh, Ki Poiked Avoin, Avoinam, Al Zara'am. That's how Rikanti learns the Ramban. So when you go with another Ramban, and plus you get Zion, the Ramban writes, V'anochen Be'inai, Ki Selicha Hanachas Ha'oinesh. The patience of Selicha means that I'm not going to punish them now. I'm pushing aside the punishment. Just like he says, Unkelus translates it. Like Karbonus Malim Oinesh Shoygeg Me'alav. That's the effect of Karbonus. That when a person does something b'shoygeg, so he's allowed to bring a Karbon, so it pushes aside the Oinesh. V'chein toy v'salach. V'amar salach dikid v'recha, l'am b'chlalan, sh'lo yakem b'dever v'yerishem v'yasay sa l'goy gadol v'atzum tzadik. Hashem didn't do what he had threatened, to just get rid of everybody and make Moshe Rabbeinu klal Yisrael. Aval yislach lahem sh'yirshu b'neyem esa aretz. The children will get the land. That's part of the slicha. V'shloya musahim b'magefa, and that all of Klal Yisrael at that time won't all die instantly in a magefa. V'gazer shitamu pigrein b'midbar. Over time, it'll all happen. Then the Ramban points out something astonishing. He says, if you take a look at Mishnah Torah, hisker Moshe b'maisa ha'egel tefilasoi. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, remember, I davened for you by the egel. V'esnapal lifnei Hashem karishayna. He explains it. This is what I did for you. You take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu, he describes the Meraglim. He doesn't tell Klal Yisrael, and I davened for you. Why not? He did. So it's described in this sixth parsha. It's all the same thing that I just mentioned to you. He never davened that Kadosh Baruch Hu should forgive them. Just delay it, change it, do something, have patience with them. So he didn't have a quote-unquote complete tefillah on them. That's why he never reminded them about it or mentioned it to them. Because they could have had a taina against them. So Pashib Shadiz Ramban is not saying that Moshe Rabbeinu felt guilty that he did the wrong thing. It's just that Moshe Rabbeinu had an insight into what was possible and what was impossible in terms of the way that a Kaddish Baruch Hu was related to Klal Yisrael at the time.
Okay. The staff doesn't face and put up an avodah. And now you can get...
Yeah, but you see the Ramban. He says it's not the Shah. Right? Ramban definitely did not. It wasn't a breezer. Okay. So then... That's just point number one. Just in terms of understanding like Hashgach of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it's fascinating that Klal Yisrael should have been completely annihilated. Moshe Rabbeinu does daven, but the davening is with an awareness of the Hashgach of the Kadosh Baruch Hu at the time and the way that Kadosh Baruch Hu is relating. So you have to daven in the way that the person is being related to, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. The whole tefillah doesn't make any sense. That's number one. So then you have a whole group of people that decide that they're going to do something about it. So when they hear about this whole decree, so what are they going to do? So they're gonna go anyway. Right? Vayapilu. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says what I was thinking. Tohu, they made a mistake, b'hiras da'itam. Ki letzad shehem mardu b'Hashem, ke'omram, she'enu yachal aseis b'yadam ha'amim ha'ramim, that it's impossible for us to conquer, even with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's help, it's impossible for us to conquer these people in Eretz Yisrael. Hazeh chashu l'sakein. So they wanted to fix their error. They're going to do tshuva. So what are they going to do? Liv toyech b'Hashem. L'lachach li ha'emunah. I'll prove to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we have the bitach and we have the emunah. He told us, no, don't go. You're going to die in the midbar. Why? Because we made a statement that we can't do it. We're going to do it. And we trust that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help us, you know, fulfill it, get through with it.
Did they not realize that, I think, what was it, half of the Shem Ephraim did the same exact thing?
Under what condition?
I mean, they bailed out of Mitzrayim sooner than they were supposed to. They had their own.
But what was the problem there?
They ran their calculations, they left early, and they got
okay. Wiped out. But what's the cheshbon here? It's not the same cheshbon. The cheshbon here is that they need to fix what they did wrong. What did they do wrong? It was chisarnu min emunah
b'tochen. But in and of itself is a problem. Someone says, don't cross the street. You're like, oh, because I'm scared. No, I'm not scared anymore. I'll cross the street. You're like, no, I just told you not to cross the street. Like, it's not exactly...
So what are they thinking?
I understand what they're thinking, but it's felt. You know what I mean? Like it's missing. You missed one of the links in the chain there.
But maybe that's the point. Because maybe the point is that when you... But Dafka, when you're telling me not to do it, it's because you're testing me. Because you want to see if I'm really going to have that bitachon. You're saying, no, you can't do it, you can't. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you know, I'm not going to be with you. So that's all that challenged me to show that if I go, I'm going to have the bitachon.
He's sitting in front of the stove. You tell him, don't touch the stove. He says, no, I know how to do it. I'm good. He touched the stove anyway. So still smack him in the face.
But I don't understand something. Kadosh Baruch Hu promised to Avram Avinu, right?
Yeah.
That your children are going to get...
That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll make you Klal Yisrael. Because he can't. That's why Hashem always says, I'll make you Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. I can't get rid of Klal Yisrael, and I can't get rid of the promises. So you'll be Klal Yisrael.
It always says in the, what's called, by the Chet HaEgel, by this, by the Meralim, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Wipe out Klal Yisrael. But he made a promise to
So then
don't put in that I'm going to wipe out Klal Yisrael. You're not wiping out Klal Yisrael.
The only reason, there are 2 points. Number one is that you see from
Moshe would be Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael itself is not like that.
True, right? That has to be true. In this particular case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was challenging Moshe Rabbeinu to see what he's going to do.
When Paro said the same
question. It's like an empty threat, though.
No, it isn't. Paro said the same
thing. We'll redo it.
This is Jude.
He's saying, I'm going to wipe out.
Yes,
in other
words, you're right. You're
right. Today. As
and make it through you.
Yes.
Then Klal Yisrael is not destroyed.
No, you're right. I think you're right on target. You're saying something so beautiful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry, the promise will be kept. It'll be you. So Moshe Rabbeinu should give himself a pat on the back and say, okay, we'll create a real nation of Yerei Shamayim.
If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give a rat's patootie, he would have said, yes.
So that reflects Moshe Rabbeinu and who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Right? Your question's good. That's on target.
My question is, in the Torah it says that I'm going to destroy, right? It doesn't say I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Is that saying I'm going to recreate Klal Yisrael through you and destroy the rest of the people?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It was Jew 2.0. What do you mean?
What do you see it saying otherwise?
Over here, fine, it says that. But Chet HaEgel, he said that I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael, right? It says it a whole bunch of times. I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael should be destroyed.
I don't have to look over there and see if it's any different. But yeah, I think the Cheshbon is never to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. The Cheshbon has to keep his promises.
Okay. See, then if you're gonna do that, right?
Yeah.
But Moshe wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. She's saying all his odd descendants will be able to go.
At what point will he be allowed? Yeah. In a Chaim, right? It would have been his children.
But then his promise to Avram Avinu wouldn't be fulfilled either.
What?
That's destroy everybody else.
That's Klal Yisrael. As long as there's Klal Yisrael, Zera Avraham.
Pacified by Chet HaEgel.
Yeah. Again, the same point. And it says explicitly, it says Chalav Begadol. Again, explicitly. So it's always Zera Avraham. As long as there's Zera Avraham, so then we're good, and that'll be fulfilled.
Okay. Paro had the same exact cheshbon.
What?
Paro also had the same cheshbon also. He knew we couldn't get rid of all Klal Yisrael, so the simplest thing would be get rid of the males, keep the females. They're technically still Jews running around, yet they don't know they're Jews. So he's Try to skirt the Klal Yisrael never disappearing.
Interesting, I never thought of it that way. Okay, maybe, I don't know. Okay, so that was their cheshbon, right? Their cheshbon is like tshuva, like the Rambam. That the whole problem with the Ma'apilim, so they said we got in trouble because we didn't have the Emunah and Bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll show that we have the Emunah and Bitachon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did promise the land, right? We'll say more like you're saying. So we'll go ahead and we'll do it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to our salvation.
It's the time and place for everything. Now is not the time or the place.
Okay. V'lo nisratza Hashem. Ki makasam tiria. That their wound was still fresh. Kvar nigzera gzera. And number two, the gzera had already been made. And he says, I am Mashakasavti Parshas Dvarim. So that's the Orach HaKadosh. He says that their cheshbon made sense. But number one, it was not the right time. It was too fresh. The wound was too fresh. I don't know exactly what he means by that. What do you think he means by that? The wound was too fresh. Meaning they're not it's not real tshuva. It's just superficial. They hadn't really changed that should be. In other words, maybe one would argue. The Rambam famously said that Tshuva Gemura is when a person's in the same situation all over again, and this time acts exactly the opposite, out of Tshuva. So they're suggesting they can go ahead and do that. Now, you know, imagine a person, the woman that he was with, so now he does Tshuva because he feels terrible the next day, so he's going to go challenge. Well, of course he can pick it up the next day. The next day that doesn't reflect the Tshuva. It just reflects that he feels bad and been guilty about what he did the day before. The Tshuva is that after time, he's changed to such an extent that he would never do it again, even with all the same feelings and hormones, you know, being equal. So maybe that's what he had in mind, is that you could have imagined this would have been the Tshuva Gemura of the Rambam, had it been later on when this had settled itself and now all the cheshbonos were back the way they were. But on the coattails of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's decree, then you're going to go ahead and do it. That doesn't reflect the Tshuva Gemura. Maybe that's one chat, that it's fresh. But in any case, and this is also the Kvar Nigzera Gezera, that in that case, it's finished. The Gezera had already been made, so apparently they don't have a chance to do that. He makes one more point also, and I want you to tell me what you think about this. So again, this is Aruch Chaim. So he writes, Ki Amaleki, everyone's in the same place. What? Perish Kevin Shaham Merit Haya Omasha Amru Hamaraglim, Amalek Yoshev Beret HaNegev, Vakinani Vigoymer. So the specific nations are mentioning are the Amaleki and the Kenani, and the Ma'apilim also. Again, it's the Amaleki and also the Kenani. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you got to watch out. You're not going to be able to pull this off. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes, V'am Hashem mevi yosanolim pol b'cherib. Im kein eich tivtichu. How could they be so confident? She'asa Hashem lachem neis b'mokim haresha atzmoy. In exactly the same place, what does that mean? You know, place meaning what they said, in the same way, in the same taina. When they're afraid of the Amaleki and the Kenani, and then they're going to go bedafka the Amaleki and the Kenani. So how can you have the confidence that in the place of the Resha, you're going to be able to have the Yeshua? Well, there's Amar when Nefalta Mecher Bevadai. There's no way you'll be successful in that. What?
Are they different though? Because if you look in Pasuk Chafei, it says Amaleki Kenani Yoshe at the Emek, sitting in the Emek.
Yep.
And then you look at Memhe, figured I'm going to get Kanye Yoshi Bahar.
They shifted position?
I don't know. So it seems like. Unless they moved.
I'm not sure, but that's what Aruch Chaim learns, is that it sounds like they're going, the Bitachon and the Emunah Bitachon they want to have is Bedafka, Malik and Kenani, which is exactly what they technically couldn't do before. So you can't possibly have the confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save you from exactly the same thing that you just said you can't do. Whether that's a Mida Kenegan Mida or something like that.
Wouldn't it make sense then to go down to Heaven and to Chiman Shesha and Tamai, the Bnei Anakim? That's what they were bringing up over there in Meragma.
To show that they had a Bidogan. Sure.
If that was their cheshbon, then they should.
But they have to get there.
What's the Maliki and the Kenani?
They have to get there. That's just what's in the way, no? I just want to push it down. Okay, but in any case, that was their cheshbon. So Moshe Rabbeinu must have been aware of this, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to just like say like this is a bad idea. He must know what they're thinking. He's going to counter it. No, he's going to address what they're thinking. V'emar Moshe, lama zeh atem oivrim es pi Hashem. So that's interesting, right? Why pi Hashem? Dvar Hashem would be more normal. Your oivrim es pi Hashem. V'hi lo sitzlach. Everyone tries to figure out what v'hi is. First of all, it's spelled with a vav. It's spelled who? So what's v'hi lo sitzlach? So, okay. Al ta'alu ki ein Hashem bekir bechem. Hashem is not with you. Lesig nagvul me'vechem. Don't do it. Ki amaleki beknani, etc. So, I'll try to go through this quickly. But the panim yafos, that's the haflah. So the panim yafos, see, he says something fascinating, really focusing on the pi Hashem. You asked right, blast, right?
He didn't know on the spot. I looked it up at night.
Okay.
Why he asked, he says something to you?
Oh, we're schmoozing. We're schmoozing every once in a while. I get to see him in yeshiva. Anyway. So he says, you know, the pasuk can tell him, says, Pnei Hashem bo seira. The Pnei Hashem. Or Pi Hashem, he can rephrase, he says, that's connected, Pnei Hashem. So Pnei Hashem bo seira, the hachris meres zichron. So how can it be that the Pnei Hashem is facing somebody? Usually we want, who's a kohen over here? Yisoh Hashem panav elecha. So the Pnei Hashem on a person is a positive. So what does it mean? Pnei Hashem boisei ra'el ha'achris mech zichron? That the Pnei Hashem is on those who do evil, and that's going to kill them? Hanu dechsiv mishal l'sainav el panav. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does repay those who quote-unquote hate him, Rachmana Litzlan, el panav l'havidoi, to his face, to cause them to be lost. So what does it mean? That sometimes the Kaddish Baruch Hu will show him what's called panim soicha kais, you know, Hashem's happy face, and he'll give them success, hatzlacha. But it's only kidei lahavida. It's to destroy them. They'll get all their schar in olam hazeh. They have nothing in olam haba. David Hamelach came la yakumu rishoyim ba mishpat v'hushamar b'kohel yish rishoyim shemagia lehem kemais et tzadikim. That there are Rishoyim who seem to be successful, like Tzadikim. The Hainish Matzlichim, Shu Kimishmar HaRoyal Tzadikim Gemurim. She Ein La HaShavoyis. It doesn't mean that the Tzadikim and the Rishoyim are having the same things happening to them. It just means, She Yakumu B'Mishmar Ka'adas Tzadikim Yikol Atzlach HaSam Eina Ela Kemoitzlif Neiruach. It's just there to give them what they deserve. Now, to wipe them out for the future. So in other words, that's the Pnei Hashem. Pnei Hashem can mean two totally opposite things. What it means the same thing, but they're still totally opposites. Because what it means is that Kadosh Baruch was showing favor to the person. But showing favor to the person on the one hand, if he's a tzaddik, is great. But if a Kadosh Baruch was showing favor to the Rasha may think it's great, but it's not great, because it's really going to destroy him. So when a person does an Avera, what's better? That he should have the Pnei Hashem? Because if he has the Pnei Hashem, it makes him feel like he's now back with a Kadosh Baruch. On the other hand, if he has the Pnei Hashem, it might be a negative. Because it might be that he's getting all his schar now because he didn't really fix the Resha. So that's our problem in the Hashkacha, in the awareness of the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does a person know if the Hatzlacha he's experiencing is a negative or if it's a positive? So he thinks he did tshuva, you know, he thinks he's doing the right thing. So the Ma'apilim, he says, what did they want?
He doesn't know until after 120 years.
Well, maybe. Bin l'achar achayit, Shenotza Hashem sa Hashem, sar Hashem panav mehem, v'yishiv machor. So that's what the pasuk says. Ki amaleki v'aknani sham lifneichem, unefaltem b'charev. Ki al kain, that's hard to translate, ki al kain, shavtem me'acharei Hashem. You turned from being me'achar Hashem. Lo yeh Hashem imachem. Hashem is not going to be with you. So we always assume that to mean that you're not following Hashem. But wait a minute. Think about the words for a minute. The Pnei Hashem could be a negative, but generally it's a positive. Yisoh Hashem panav elecha. So the Pnei Hashem, you'd expect it to be a positive. The Achori Hashem is a negative. Who wants to be given something, you know, l'achor? That you should just be given from the back of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki alkem shavtem Achori Hashem. What? I
can't see Pnei Hashem.
So you'll see what he says about that too. So he says that after the Avera, Shenotzu Hashem, Sar Hashem, Panav Mehem, Beishiva Machor. Why did a Kadosh Baruch Hu treat Klal Yisrael the way he did? And including that whole door of the Meraglim. Kedeshi Elamacher is Toiv. So that they shouldn't have the Pnei Hashem. And they can't have that Hatzlacha. So that they'll be able to actually get their Olam Haba. So that's what it means, Acharei Hashem. In this context, it means the Ma'apilim left me Acharei Hashem because they wanted the Pnei Hashem. So they're going to go try to do something positive to get the Pnei Hashem. But what they're doing to do that is the opposite of what's supposed to be happening. What they need to be doing now is going through the Acharei Hashem to be able to ultimately get the Olam Haba. But if you're going to go ahead and look for the Hatzlacha now and it's inappropriate, so that's going to be your end. They wanted to see Hashem's favor. Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's not the Hashkacha now. It can't be. So he says at the end, that's what it means when Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to see the ways of Hashem. That Punai lo yiro is that if a person does something negative, ultimately be able to get the good. But varash al rishoyim bo'en shem la'acharis. Aval leida lefi sho'a ha'panim soichakais lo yiro. But to know the panim soichakais, how do you exactly know? V'zeh shekasov tov ha'melech v'shalom heim lo yadu derachai. Shezer darko letov asam. So you have to... Anyway, what's the point? The point is that in the context of the psukim, Moshe was telling them, you're leaving the Acharei Hashem to go for the Pnei Hashem, but that's going to be your ruin. What you have to be doing now is living through the Acharei Hashem in order to get your Olam Haba. That's what he was trying to say to them. So that was the message. That's how the Panayof has learned, that he was trying to get the message across to them. They didn't get it. That they're trying to change the entire Hashkacha that's happening. In other words, that's the theme that I just wanted to present to you. That Moshe Rabbeinu sees something that nobody else is seeing. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davens for Klal Yisrael, sees that there's certain things that you just can't daven for right now. And Klal Yisrael may think that's great, and they're going to have tainas against him for not davening like that. But he sees the Hashkacha like they don't see. That's number one. And number two, when it comes to the Ma'apilim, he's telling them also that you think you're going to be able to show your bitachon, maybe a tshuva gemura, whatever you're trying to accomplish with this. But I'm telling you right now that you're shav me'achari Hashem. And that's not the way the Hashkacha is going to be for you right now. You have to be able to get that tshuva by going through this bad time. If you're going to try and gain the Pnei Hashem, you may do it, but I'm telling you right now, it's lahavidoy. It's not going to be positive to you. So I just want to finish with one more point, because it relates to all of this, that the Baal HaTurim, so he writes, Vaya'apilu b'gematria tzlafchad. So some say that tzlafchad died because he was part of the Ma'apilim. That's the Baal HaTurim.
What about the question?
It's another chat. Yeah. Okay.
What about the
Ma'apilim? So some say he was Mina Ma'apilim. So that's what he says is a gematria. So the point of the office again, he says something very interesting. He says, V'arin bris Hashem u'moshe le'mashu mekerav ha'machane. That when they went to go fight, Moshe and the Aroin stayed where they were. L'cha'ira pela. Kevin shomar ha'kadosh baruch hu, al ta'lu, l'ma yamush mekerav ha'machane. Hashem already said that you shouldn't go. So then it's a chiddush that the Aroin and Moshe didn't leave the machane? Like, why is there, obviously they're not going to go. Well, what is going on over here? V'nira. She'elu ma'apilim la'alois. E'efshar lo'emar she'haminu b'nevuas Moshe. Obviously, you can't say that the people that are going against Moshe Rabbeinu's will, that they're the real mom, the chassidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, they're going against the Dvar Hashem. But they're the same people that are crying. He doesn't understand who these people are. If they're not listening to Moshe Rabbeinu, who are these people? The same people that were crying, they couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael? It means they believed Moshe Rabbeinu yesterday, don't believe him today? She says, Tzarech Loimar is a fascinating chiddush. Shahay mixas anashim she'aminu li'Yoshua v'Kalev. Some of the Ma'apilim certainly believed in Yoshua and Kalev. She'amru star tzilim aleim al tiro. They said, we're going to conquer them. Don't worry about it. We're good. V'nira she'kol shevet he'amin l'nasi shaloi. He says, I think that every shevet believed their nasi. Which would mean, of course, what? The Shev Yehuda believed Kalev. And Shev Ephraim believed Yehoshua. V'hinei em Shev Yehuda, hayu ma'apilim la'alois.
They're Nasi or they're Miragol?
He He writes the Nasi, but that means the one who went to the world.
Weren't they all the same?
Yeah, the Ran were the same.
All Nasi.
They seen that both of their buns, but they said the Nasi also.
I thought that was their whole catch. They, were, right, yeah. They realized that if they go into the show, they lose their position.
It was the Nas, right?
Oh, yeah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. That was one of the reasons why they spoke okay. Lashonara.
Anyway, so he says that, so if Yehuda and Ephraim were going, Loi haya oven kolkach, it wouldn't be so bad. Shesadru shalim lahayu shvuas Hashem. The curse of Meragim wasn't on us. We believed them. So that's back to the cash that whoever asked about Winnipeg. It's a Kol Yisrael. Sounds like everybody. See, he's tiny. Maybe not. Maybe Yehuda and Ephraim didn't. So wait a minute. So he says, now you can say pshat in the pasuk. Admasaya natsuni. That the pasuk said, by the punishment, right? That there seemed to be two things going on.
So then why were they punished?
Oh, good. So he says. He says, let me find the pasuk again. They're not going to see the land. There's a different people. There are other people that are also like that blasphemed you or something. But Avdi Kalev, he's going to get it though. And Yoshua? It
says Yoshua later on.
Not over here. She says. They survived. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't say they're going to. So what's going on? So in other words, his point is that you're correct. Obviously Yeshua survived. But he's not included in the Yina Atsuni. Why is he not included in the Yina Atsuni? So he says, because what's going on is that really, there obviously were people that deserved the punishment because of the Meraglim. But two Shvatim didn't. The only reason that they fell under the rubric of this Gzeirah was because it was a time of Zoham of a Kaddish Baruch. Kaddish Baruch was angry. It was extracting punishment from Klal Yisrael. So what happens when that happens? There's always a Shemesh of another Avera. Which Avera is that? The Ego. So Chedeh always comes back. So when a Kaddish Baruch says it's a time of punishment to Klal Yisrael, there's also punishment for Chedeh Ego.
So why wasn't Yeshua
Kalev? Okay, good. So the Yekalev has to be exempted from Yenatsuni. Not from the Meraglim, because it's not part of the Meraglim, but Yenatsuni should have been part of. So he's exempted from that. Why not Yoshua? Because he was
Bar. Why weren't all the other people exempted? Who? Why Kalev and not the rest of Shevet Ephraim and the Shevet Yehuda who believe Kalev?
Because they're being punished. Chedeh Egel. Chedeh Egel came upon them.
Why wasn't punished?
That's the exception. That's the point. That's the whole point.
Why was he exempted versus anybody else?
Maybe because whatever the reasons are, because of whatever zuchus that he had unique to him. Whatever he had unique to him.
Because he's Miriam's husband.
No, but okay. It was then moving. Kalev chutzmi. Kalev hashigam hu haya love oven ha ega.
That's a good point.
What?
They were fine.
What happened to them?
They weren't involved. I mean, did they die out?
They weren't.
I don't know. We gotta find somebody to talk to. Shavu Levi. It's a good point. It's a good point. They didn't have. They didn't even have one.
Right. I don't
know. Okay. Sorry. All right. But that's what he says. What did we say? What?
No, Pinchas went in. So, how old is Pinchas? Is he in that category?
Pinchas went.
Yeah, because he's already alive. When
Pinchas went in Eretz Yisrael.
No. When
in
Eretz Yisrael?
Pinchas wasn't when in Eretz Yisrael. Pinchas and Elazar both went in Eretz Yisrael.
So the whole.
So I just don't know age-wise if they were
20, but 20 to 60 they all right.
I know. Got it. They got a lot of math. Okay. Okay, always more, always more. Okay, but that's what I saw.
We're 19 and a half.
So number one, it's fascinating the hashgacha that Moshe even has an insight into, and one in terms of the tefillah that he makes. And number two, in terms of how to relate to the ma'apilim and their cheshbonos, and Moshe Rabbeinu how he tried to fight for their cheshbonos or their problem. And then finally, just that last nakuda is that in terms of the ma'apilim and slacha being one of them, so there's like a second level over here, which is the level of there's a cheta egel that's being carried out here, even for people that didn't necessarily deserve to be punished for the cheta meragim, which we didn't leave open that Shevet Levi shouldn't have been punished. So to figure out how that fits into all this. Okay,
that's interesting. Rashi and the ma'apilim, it says that it's a lashon azus. Right. He writes Balaz English. Hungarians.
I don't think there were Hungarians back then.
No, this is what Rashi says.